Hello, and welcome to the Recon Rod. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And we're here for Giro d'Italia show number one of three. In case you're a new listener, in case you haven't listened to previous Recon Ride Grand Tour shows, here's how we do this. We do three shows for the Grand Tours. The first one's sort of a pre-race show, I guess, like most of our shows are, as obviously done in advance of the race.
We have this show for the purpose of selecting people who will not end up starting or finishing.
That's right. Who will be sick or crash.
Yep. We'll name them all here as favorites, and then they will disappear.
That tends to happen, it seems. So the first show, like I said, we're going to do it in advance of the race. We'll do another show a little bit into the race. Normally, it'd be on the first rest day. This Giro d'Italia, it'll technically be on the second rest day because the Peloton gets a day off after visiting the Netherlands. And then we'll do our third and final Giro show on the last rest day. So there's three Giro shows, one in advance of the race, another one about a week in, and then another one for the final week. And we are going to try to predict our winners, and then we'll revisit those predictions midway through, which Cosmo hates revisiting those predictions, and we'll see how the race kind of shakes out over the next couple of days and take stock of things as we go along. But first, we have to take a closer look at the route and the contenders and the storylines and all those good things that we tend to talk about. And so that's what we're doing here in the first show.
Before we get into this this Giro d'Italia business, don't we owe our listeners a quick recap of our prediction outcomes from the spring?
That's right. We do owe them that, don't we? So
we've been putting it off for weeks and weeks.
Really, really putting it off. All right. So far in the year, I'm looking at three successful winner picks on my side, nine podium finishers. You have yet to nail a winner pick, but you've got far more podium finishers than I have with 13. Yeah, I'd say all things considered, we're doing okay, given the number of riders that have DNS'd in between the publication of the show and the races themselves. I'm looking at Christoph and Greg Van Avermaet in particular on my end. And stage cancellations, Paris-Nice and Tirreno-Adriatico. I think, you know, if you take that into account, we've done okay so far. Both of us have had a couple of nice picks here and there. Your Tom Bonin pick at Paris-Roubaix, the way you made it sound at the time was like it was kind of a dartboard pick, and that worked out pretty well. And I think the number of winner picks that I've gotten and the number of podium finishers that you've gotten, it seems like a pretty even competition so far.
Hopefully. Are we competing?
Oh no, it's a friendly, you know.
Okay,
whatever they call those.
I could get vicious about this. I could really.
No, that's not good. I don't want to make an enemy of Cosmo Catalano.
Send some guys after your picks, kneecaps. You know, Tanya Harding style. Maybe I already have been. We don't know. Yeah. So the Giro d'Italia is probably my favorite stage race. It's obviously not the biggest. The Tour is the biggest, and the Vuelta is the one they're going to shorten to 2 weeks where they try really weird things. But the Giro really has a humanity to it that a lot of other events don't have. And this is, you know, taking into account the fact that they go up these mountain passes during times when there is still, you know, 20 feet of snow on the ground and occasional snowstorms that actually impact the outcome of the race substantially. But there, you know, there are days where it is sunny and they're on a slow, flat coastal road and there's a four-rider breakaway that they know they're going to catch. And people are just relaxed, you know, getting food to their leaders. They know there's going to be a really exciting sprint at the end. It might even be more exciting because no one is tired by the time they get to the finishing circuit. But it's, yeah, there's just a, it feels like the pace of the event is correct. The Tour always seems so hectic and crazy and everything is the end of the world, whereas the Giro kind of meanders its way through Italy, and sometimes not Italy, which is, I mean, I think pretty cool. The every other year now, since 2010 at least, the Giro has started in a foreign country, which almost takes away some of the excitement surrounding it in that it's not a novel experience anymore, but it's a good way to kind of export the unique Italianness of the race and also get, you know, people six and seven rows deep on the side of the road going to a place like the Netherlands.
Yeah, I've always thought the Netherlands should have more top-level races, so it's nice that they get visits from the Giro and the Tour in quick succession like they've had. I've always found it a little bit interesting, and I'm saying this at the risk of ticking off a lot of cycling purists who find this to be the best Grand Tour. I've always found it a little bit interesting the way that in recent years, I think there's a a bit of a disconnect in the prestige of winning the Giro d'Italia and the reality of the contenders on the start list. And I do love the Giro. I think it's a great race and it's a beautiful race. And it tends to be very entertaining. We've had some close Giros in the last couple of years. But I think a lot of people put it right just a level below the Tour. And a lot of cycling purists will put it, you know, significantly ahead of the Vuelta, for instance. And I don't know that that really matches the reality of recent start lists. I think a lot of guys are steering away from the Giro. And it's fortunate for the Giro that one of the big name contenders in the Grand Tours right now is Italian, Vincenzo Nibali. I'm not sure that he would be at the Giro this year if he weren't an Italian rider himself. And I do, like I said, I do like the Giro, but you know, Contador really, I think, brought a lot of energy to the start list last year. But apart from him, it was, again, it was a little weak and he won pretty easily. So yeah, I just think it's sort of interesting the way this is viewed compared to the actual reality of the start list. And I don't know, I don't really know what the future of that is. I'm not sure if we're going to see a kind of a comeback with better start lists in the future. I don't know. But fortunately, Vincenzo Nibali is here this year. Mikel Landa. There are some big names here, which should make it an interesting race. I just wish that there were one or two more. And I'm sure the organizers do as well.
I mean, a lot of that is kind of the Tour's fault because it's so big. A lot of people will pass the Giro to focus on the Tour. But at the same time, you look at the recent winners. I mean, you had Contador last year. You had Nairo Quintana the year before. You had Vincenzo Nibali the year before that. Like, these are not scrubs we're talking about
No,
here.
Definitely. Yeah, so certainly there was one or two guys in the last 2 years that have been up there. I wish there were more. That's all. All right, well, speaking of the start list, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk plenty about this start list, the riders in attendance here. But first, we're going to talk about the overall route. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to talk about the overall Giro route, just get a general sense of the way this should play out. And then we're going to talk start list, and then we'll go stage by stage for the first 9 stages and do some predictions. So again, general overview of the Giro this year. I think balance is a pretty good word to describe this parcours. There are 3 time trials, which is a little more than we've seen recently, 3 individual time trials. One's a very short time trial, one's kind of hilly, and one is definitely, it's a pure hill climb. It's definitely a climber-friendly time trial. There are plenty of mountains here, but I don't know about the mountaintop finishes. I mean, it's going to be a tough race. I don't see a whole lot of super hard summit finishes here.
Yeah, they're not selling a lot of tours associated with this race. All the big names, kind of the big name climbs are kind of absent. Which, again, given the recent history of the race with snowstorms and snow days, maybe not such a bad decision on the organizers' part.
Yeah, I think again there are some hard climbs here. One in particular really stands out as just a really incredible climb from a technical standpoint, from a metrics standpoint. I'm looking at the Cima Coppi here. Stage 19, the Cima Coppi, the highest point in the race. It's the Colle d'Agnello. It's really, really long. It's a climb that starts out around 35, 36 kilometers into the stage. If you want to just talk about where the going up starts, I think the official climb doesn't start until like 60K later, but they're basically going uphill for about 70 kilometers. It's absurd. It's about 70 uphill kilometers, and in that time, they're going to climb roughly 2,400 meters. So, yeah, it's not a huge gradient, but for 70 kilometers, that's about 3.5%, which is, that's going to make some guys pretty tired. It's not the end of the stage. There's a really long descent after that, and then a steep uphill finish there. So, I think that's a good example of the climbs here in general. There are some definitely hard climbs, but they don't necessarily finish the stages. I think the race is backloaded, as it often is. A lot of action between stages 13 and 20. Plenty of climbs there, stage 19 and stage 20. And then we see the finish. Stage 21 is going to be, as usual, a nice day for the sprinters. I mean, there's a couple of little bumps there, but a day for the points classification, I would think, in Torino. And one thing I think we can note about this balanced Giro is that they're visiting southern Italy again, which I would think southern Italians would be very happy about. The 2015 Giro was not very kind to southern Italy. It did not visit anywhere south of central Italy, really. And this year we get to do a couple of stages, actually, all the way at the bottom of the boot.
It's interesting to note the vast preponderance of Giro winners have come from the northern half of the country. Nibali is actually very exceptional in being a southern Italian. Sicilian, right? Isn't he from Sicily?
Yeah. Is that even Italy? Yeah. Who knows?
I guess that depends on who you ask. It's certainly a part of the country that may be a little harder to route a bike race through. But at the same time, it's clearly a place that could be developed a little more as a breeding ground for future champions.
Indeed, I think Vincenzo Nibali does a lot of big things for Southern Italy in terms of getting riders out there. And as you point out, because many of them are from Northern Italy, that's where we tend to associate them with. But I think having Nibali as kind of the face of Italian cycling right now is probably doing big things for riders coming out of Southern Italy. So who knows, maybe that could change in a couple of years, thanks to Vincenzo, the Shark of Messina, they call him. All right, so speaking of Vincenzo Nibali, we've gone through a general overview of this route. Let's talk start list, overall contenders, etc. Well, we've briefly touched on it already. Let's get a little bit deeper into the start list. Vincenzo Nibali seems like as good a place as any to begin the conversation. He has just so many factors stacked in his favor going for the race win this year. He's got a strong team, as always. He's got a route that I think favors his skill set. As we pointed out, there are some hard climbs, but there's a lot of descending too, and that's something he's very good at. In a race that is going to favor a savvy racer, a strategic racer, I think you can generally count on Vincenzo Nibali to do very well. And he's got the experience. He's won the race before. There are a few other race winners on the start list, but I'm laughing because Damiano Cunego was the first one I thought of, and I don't think he's really going to be challenging for the overall
win. He's still riding bikes?
Somehow.
Isn't he like in grad school or something? Like,
he's too old for that.
You can always go back. You're never too old.
I say that, but he's actually only 34 years old, which is kind of insane when you think about how long ago he was good. Anyway, Vincenzo Nibali, to me, stands out as the heavy favorite going into the race. I do have a little bit of a question about his form. Last time he won the Giro, he was coming off of a Tirreno win, a Giro del Trentino win. This year, he's been okay. He won the Tour of Oman, but he was less impressive at Tirreno. I think he was sixth overall there, if I'm not mistaken. And he was kind of quiet in the Giro del Trentino. So obviously this is a guy that you can never count out. I'm not saying that. I don't expect him to come in here guns blazing. But I do think it's one reason. It's a chink in the armor, I guess you could say. He hasn't been as strong as usual this year. But maybe he'll be helped out. Maybe that won't matter because he has a guy like Jakob Fuglsang at his side, Michele Scarponi, Tanel Kangert, who's been very strong recently. But yeah, Fuglsang in particular, just a really good rider who has been in the top 10 in the Tour de France on his own and has proven himself a terrific lieutenant for Vincenzo Nibali over the years. So much so that it just seemed like an easy decision to give him a call. We had to get a sense of how Vincenzo was doing, how Jakob was doing, and what he thought Astana was going to be up to in this race. So we did. We called Jakob and here he is on the recon ride, Jakob Fuglsang. Jakob, welcome to the recon ride.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How would you say your season's going so far?
So far for me, it's been a good season. I had a good start with Tour of Oman and also tried out some new races. Did Trentino for the first time. For me, and also Tirreno was the first time for me. Trentino went good. I also did the Tour of Flanders to try something different, and also went relatively good for first time. So far, I'm happy with my season and feel good this year in general.
Are you planning for a Giro Tour double this year, or is the Giro the main goal for you?
First of all, Giro is the main goal for me, for myself also to do result. But the plan is that I will do both. But in the Tour, I will mainly be there to support Fabio Aru and to prepare for the Olympics. So first of all, Giro is the main goal and where I also will try to do GC.
In terms of working for Aru, is there any differences that you found? I mean, you're sort of known as a really good lieutenant for some big names. Is there any difference working with Nibali or working for Aru in terms of the way they ride, the way they rely on their support?
To be honest, I haven't really been riding so much for Aru until now. I've done last year, did some races with him, but in the early season. Riding for him 100%, I haven't really tried yet. So it's difficult for me to say, but for sure there is a difference between Vincenzo and Aru that I think there will for sure be, but can't really put a finger on what exactly for now.
Will you be, so you mentioned riding the Giro for a GC result. So that means that you're looking for some GC result of your own in addition to Vincenzo's. And can you tell us what that might be, what the kind of goal is for you personally?
Yeah, that would be in addition to helping Vincenzo trying to win the Giro again. Of course, that will be the main goal for the team. But so far, what I have been told from the team is that they would like to try to do a double to get two guys on the podium like last year, but hopefully with one guy on top of the podium. So that's basically the idea to start with. But we see how it goes. I will do my best to try to fulfill that for the team. And for me personally, it's been a while since I was riding as a GC guy for Grand Tour. It was back in 2013 where I finished seventh in the Tour, and I believe that I'm better now and hope that I can do a better result also in the Giro. So I really hope to be able to get a top three, but I also know that it's not going to be easy, and it's also only if it fits in. Of course, trying to win the Giro is the number one goal, and supporting Vincenzo is number one. But I hope that there will be space enough for me to also try out.
Looking ahead at the just kind of the route of the Giro this year, are there any stages you're really excited about in terms of kind of getting up there in GC or in terms of maybe stealing a stage?
Well, I normally take it day by day. You know, a Grand Tour is never easy, and even the days where you think will be easy days can turn out to be the days where you lose the most time. It can be crosswind, can be crashes, can be many things. So it's a hard tour, that's for sure. It's never easy, a Grand Tour. So it's not that I can say that one stage or something like that is where I think everything is gonna go down. But there will be some difficult stages, and I think especially the time trials will be important.
All right, last question in terms of stages, kind of building off of that other question. Do you feel that this Giro is a Grand Tour that suits you in particular, just with the combination of stages, the time trials, the climbs? Do you feel that this is one that suits you more than other Grand Tours have?
It's difficult for me to say. I've never done the Giro before, and it will be the first time for me. I think in general, Tour de France fits me quite well. But looking at the guys going to the Giro this year, and looking at the parcours and the time trials that are in this year's Giro d'Italia, I think they can suit me well. I went now recently to do a reconnaissance of the of the time trial in Chianti, and it's a difficult one, and it's not one that is made specially for the big heavy guys that can push a lot of watts on the flat. It's a difficult time trial, and it will be a very important stage in the Giro.
Right. All right, I think that's all the questions we have. Jakob, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Jakob Fuglsang. He'll be riding, as he said, for Vincenzo Nibali, but potentially also for his own designs. And he has shown in the past that he is able to do that kind of thing very well. Great climber, great all-arounder. I think Stana is looking pretty strong coming into this race, and it's going to take a lot of firepower to hold them back.
Kind of the revelation of last year's race, Mikel Landa is back, but not in Astana colors. He is with a startlingly diverse Team Sky squad. He was very active in last year's event, trading off against Contador. But, you know, he had a very strong team. It's going to be interesting to see how he rides with Sky versus riding with Astana, especially given Sky's philosophy of marginal gains. They're a squad that has really developed some riders and really had other riders just kind of disappear off the face of the earth. And I would like to see him continue to do well. Certainly Spanish cycling could use a little boost, economically, more viewers, more sponsors. That would all be great. But there are question marks kind of hanging over his head right now, despite a really strong performance at Trentino. Trentino is not the Giro. For him to be able to repeat what he did last year would be, I think, sensational for Sky.
It's going to take a lot of time traveling, I think, to do it. That's something that he has never done that well in the past. I think that's going to be the big question for Landa this year. One guy who has a reputation as a great climber, doesn't have one as a time trialist, and I think he's a bit underrated in that department. And speaking of Spanish riders, by the way, is Alejandro Valverde, who will be leading the charge from Movistar. This is his first ever Giro appearance, which is kind of amazing given how long he's been around. But yeah, like I said, I think Valverde is underrated as a time trialist. He's a great all-arounder. He can pretty much do everything. He can sprint better than a lot of guys can sprint. He can climb better than almost anybody can climb. And he can time trial pretty well in a Grand Tour. He tends to be up there in contention on those kinds of stages, especially when there are hills. The time trials in this race are pretty hilly. So I think Valverde has a nice chance to be up there in contention. He's got a strong team around him, as always, with Andre Amador, who was fourth last year. It was a big surprise up there last year, and I think that'll help. It's not going to be easy, but Valverde definitely has a chance of getting onto this podium, and who knows? I mean, one big day or an injury to any of the other guys in the top of the contender list, and we could see Valverde take a Grand Tour victory. I do think he's got a great chance here.
Speaking of a great chance, Rigoberto Urán has been second here twice. This is the first time he's really shown up with a team that is focused, I think, solely around him. Like, Quickstep is a great squad, don't get me wrong, but they have historically been where Grand Tour riders go to die. A lot of guys kind of transferred from Spanish squads, South Americans also as well, to their team back in the mid-aughts, but probably went nowhere. Urán has done pretty well with them, and Cannondale is one of the more modern teams. They have a plan. They can execute on it. They did it with Ryder Hesjedal in 2012. The guys on this start list look like a solid Grand Tour squad, and the time trials, especially in this route, really, you know, that is something where Urán can point to and say, this is what I am generally better at than everyone else who's good at Grand Tours. So if he's going to win, you know, this looks like a pretty good opportunity for him.
Rafał Majka is a guy who really turned it on last year, showed he could be up there in the mix in a Grand Tour for fighting for the podium at the Vuelta. This year it's been a bit quiet for Majka so far. He was up there at the Vuelta Andalucía and in Tour de San Luis, but no top tens in any World Tour events yet. But this is a big goal for him. And I talked to him in San Luis, and he seems very optimistic about his chances going for the overall. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, maybe I'll go for a top 10 kind of talk. It was definitely an ambition to come here and podium or win the race. And I think given the field here, that's a legitimate goal for him. He does have a nice time trial. He's great in uphill time trials. He's a good strategist. He knows when to attack, when to hold on to a motorcycle, or
when to wink at the camera after holding on to a motorcycle.
That's right. When to be candid about it. And I do think he's got a decent chance here. Just looking at the race and the way it could shake out, it could go in his favor. Beyond those guys, we've named some Grand Tour podium finishers. All of those guys have finished on podiums in Grand Tours. I think there are other names here who could be in contention, but I do think we're starting to get into the outsiders now. Ilner Zakarin, a guy who's been really strong in the 1 week races recently. Man, that's really hard to say three times fast. The 1 week races recently.
Yeah.
I think it would be a stretch to call him a Grand Tour contender because he's never done anything in a Grand Tour, but he has that kind of skill set.
Fun fact, Aje Desire has a podium in this event, I believe in 2011, after Contador was disqualified. Jean Gadre of Aje Desire, official third place finisher. They have a couple guys who Pozzovivo, Domenico Pozzovivo is an Italian riding for a French team. He has a stage win here, I think from 2012 or 2013. He's definitely an explosive guy who will mix it up on the climbs, but I just don't see the time trials being great for him. Plus, he hasn't had a huge year. Kind of same with Jean-Christophe Perrault, who's, he is old now. He's probably 38 or 39. I mean, I will not be that fast when I'm 39, but he's really kind of fallen. Both of them have sort of fallen out of the spotlight as top, you know, maybe this guy will do well at a Grand Tour names. Definitely threats for stage wins, but I don't know if we can call them overall contenders still.
Tom Dumoulin is here. Really don't know what to expect from him. He was a big surprise at last year's Vuelta. Looked like he might win the whole thing until the very last GC day. Great time trialist, so he'll like the three time trial route. But really hard to say how he's going to do in this race. We don't have a whole lot to go by. Really only one Grand Tour where he's been in contention. And don't really even know what his form is like, but can't really count him out because we did that last year and he showed us that he could definitely be up there at the Vuelta. Esteban Chavez will be racing here for Orca Green Edge. Excellent climber. One of the best, I think, right now. Just going uphill as a pure climber, but the time trials are really going to hurt him in terms of the overall GC contention. Ryder Heisjedal, former winner, has not done a whole lot in recent years, but could be up there. Maybe could be hunting stages. He's definitely developed into a nice stage hunter who has shown the last couple of years that he's not afraid to jump into breakaways when things don't quite go his way in the GC conversation. So I always like that about Heisjedal, that, you know, he stays in the race. He keeps at it. And can make things interesting on the lumpier days by getting into a long-range attack. The same can be said for Steven Kreisvik. We did mention Damiano Cunego, who, I don't know, maybe he deserves an honorary mention, even if I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell he finishes even in the top 10 here. I think that's a pretty fair rundown of the GC contenders. There are some very strong stage hunters here. A really great sprinter field. You got Marcel Kittel. You got Andre Greipel. I think that's going to be the big storyline there. The two Germans going at it. But there's also plenty of Italians. As always, Sasha Modolo, Elia Viviani. Last year's points classification winner, Giacomo Nizzolo. Caleb Ewan, the Aussie sensation. Arnaud Demar, who won Milano-San Remo. So minus Mark Cavendish, there's pretty much every other big sprinting name is going to be here in Italy, and should be exciting. I think they have plenty of opportunities. There's a lot of sprint stages this year, and I think we're going to see a lot of sprinter action. The big question will be who is going to hold on all the way to the end of the race. And one rider I think we can almost guarantee will, barring an injury, is Giacomo Nizzolo. He last year found himself in contention for the points jersey pretty late and decided to make that his main goal. He has always come so close to winning a stage at the Giro. Pretty much every year he comes close to winning at least one stage, if not two or three. He'll be back to try to defend this year. It's going to be tough with all these big names here, but Giacomo's a guy who you know will be up there on pretty much all the sprint stages. And he's also a guy that we really like to interview because he's very friendly. His English is impeccable. Also, it's pretty hard not to root for him because he always comes so close. So I chatted with Giacomo the other day. So here is Giacomo Nizzolo talking about this year's Giro d'Italia. Giacomo, welcome back to the podcast. You looked really strong in the Tour of Croatia last week, Giacomo. Are you feeling as strong as you look?
Sometimes you win when you're not in top shape, and when you are in top shape, sometimes you cannot get the results you hope. That doesn't mean that I wasn't good, but let's say I feel I can still improve, and those two victories for sure gave me morale and also show that the condition is good, even if it's not probably the top shape.
Do you think it's going to be harder to win that first Giro stage with potentially, it looks like Marcel Kittel and Andre Greipel are on the start list. You think that's going to make it harder to pull off that first Giro stage win?
I tell you, looks like the level of the sprinters this year in the Giro is the highest level in the last years, for sure. But every sprint is a different story. So we have to go confident and relaxed for every stage we can go, and then we will see. Of course, the level is pretty high, but I think we can do it.
Giacomo, is there one stage in particular that you're targeting this year?
There is a stage finishing Cassano d'Adda. I think it's end of the second week or probably one of the first day of the last week. And it's a sprint stage. And the day after, we're going to start from the city where I was born. So it would be really nice to arrive there with the victory from the day before.
Right, right. What about the goal for you? Is winning a stage the bigger goal, or is winning the points jersey, defending your title as points champion, the bigger goal?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because actually I cannot answer really. I know the feeling to win the point jersey and was really something great. And actually, I don't know the feeling to win a stage, so I would like to try that. But I know for sure I also would like to feel again, to win again the red jersey. So I think one goal can bring also the other. So when you get to one stage and you fight always for the stages, in the end you can have the point jersey. So I think that would be the main line.
Right, right. Okay, my last question would be about the team's goal. You have Ryder Heisjedal at this race as well. Is the team going to be focused mostly on stages and, like you kind of pointed out, the points jersey, or is Heisjedal's GC aspirations a main focus as well?
Yeah, of course, Ryder will have his chances, and I think it's a great goal for the team to bring him at the top in the overall. I think he can do it also, so we're really motivated to give him all the support we can. And but of course, also in the sprint stages, I will have the full support from the team, especially from the fast guys.
Right. Thanks, Giacomo.
Ciao, ciao.
So that was Giacomo Nizzolo. Again, it's going to be tough, I think, for him to come away with the stage wins early. He may have to sort of hold out to later in the race. I think that's going to be the best time for him, because he's a guy who has shown a nice ability to stay fast even later on into a race. And like I said, I think we can count on him to stay in the race even through the tough mountains, as a lot of other guys are starting to abandon. So that should help his goal of coming away with the points jersey.
Speaking of hunting stages, Bardiani CSF is one of the non-World Tour teams invited to this year's race, and that's basically what they do. Like, if you loaded a shotgun with talented riders and shot it at the Giro, that's basically what they're doing here, and it seems to work out pretty well. They have a lot of former stage winners, Stefano Perazzi, Nicola Boehm. Sonny Colbrelli was third at Amstel, which is pretty huge for a guy who's just, you know, you don't finish third at Amstel accidentally. Like, that's good fitness. It's a tough, tough course. Plus, he was at the head of a bunch of sprints. So you have an opportunity for bunch sprint wins. You have an opportunity for stage hunting. It'll be cool to watch them go at it. I wouldn't expect a lot of strategy. Get a guy in a break and hope he wins out of the break.
Yeah, they always make this an interesting race. They definitely work really hard to prove that they deserve their invite to the Giro. Other notables here in the stage hunter department, Fabian Cancellara is on the start list. Diego Ulissi always does something in the Giro. Sometimes that means testing positive for a banned substance, but he always does something. I mean, he did win stages that year, too. Also, Carlos Betancourt for Movistar, who has looked really impressive the last couple of weeks. He won a race the other day, which is something that it's a sentence that I haven't said in a very long time. But he won a stage at the Vuelta a Asturias, and I think I think maybe we could see something from him in the mountain stages. This the Giro was the race that kind of brought him into the spotlight. He was fifth in the Giro in 2013. I think he won the Young Riders jersey that year. And 3 years later, now that he's finally showing that he's maybe getting back to form after some time of not necessarily being the best rider around, I think maybe we can expect to see some action from Carlos at the Giro this year. So that's the stage hunters. We talked about the GC contenders. Before we do overall predictions, let's talk first nine stages. We're going to try to do a kind of a lightning round here, just going to go through the first 9 days, and then we'll do the overall predictions after that. So without further ado, let's talk about these first week and 2 days. The race kicks off in the Netherlands with an individual time trial. It's going to be pretty short in Apeldoorn. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of GC implications from a 9.8-kilometer time trial that is pan flat, but there are some corners.
Neither too many nor too few corners.
Yeah, I think it's a nice number of corners. I don't know. What do you think?
Fabian Cancellara. He's good at this sort of thing. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of season goals beyond, you know, the tour or beyond this year. Like, so he's just going to go fast. It's going to be fun.
I'm going to go with the home rider, Tom Dumoulin. He's pretty good in short time trials. I mean, he's good in every time trial, but he's pretty good in short time trials. He was very strong in Romandy. Almost came away with two time trial victories there, but Thibaut Pinot came away with the one that I expected that he would win. But Dumoulin, that's my pick there. Stage two, very flat day. It's another one, so can't really expect anything else, I guess. Maybe there's some wind on the coast, but other than that, I think it's going to be a day for the sprinters. I'm going to go with Marcel Kittel. He looked nice at the Tour de Romandie, coming away with a stage win there, won Skelderprijs. It's been a decent year for him so far. He's taken a lot of victories in lower-level races, but I think he's going to be fine here at the Giro d'Italia, and wouldn't be surprised to see him come away with a win here on stage two.
I'm going to go with André Greipel. Even though there are only two finishing circuits, you know, he's a good finishing circuit guy. He's been riding well.
Stage three, probably another sprinter's day. Probably another kind of quiet day for the GC types. I'm going to go with Marcel Kittel again because I'm super interesting and I like to spice things up. No, I think he's fast. I think he's going to show off why he is one of the best in the world here at the Giro. And Alex Quickstep is pretty much solely here for Marcel Kittel. So you would think they're going to be able to get this right.
I'm going to pick from the heart. Martin Cialinghi, Lotto and El Jumbo. What is almost certainly his last Giro stage in his home country in the last season of his career.
Probably indeed. All right, so stage four takes us to Italy. They have a day off, so stage four is on May 10th. It's hilly. It's not super hilly, but it's hilly.
It's not that hilly. Yeah.
There are some hills. Probably too hilly for a bunch sprint. Might be a breakaway day. I don't know. What do you think?
Let's go with Tim Wellens. He likes to make attacks. He likes to drive it. His kind of finish.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Amstel, which is a race that he likes to attack on. That's a tough one. Yeah, who knows? This one's going to be interesting. I'm inclined to go with somebody punchy like Tim Wellens. I'm going to go with Diego Ulissi, also up there in the Ardennes Classics this year. Seventh in Amstel, pretty much always does well in the Giro, has won four stages in the last couple years. And I like this kind of finish for him. He's very fast in the sprint. Stage five, an interesting finish. It's not super hard, but it's uphill and it's cobbled, actually. There's a little bit of cobblestones there near the finish line. So I think, again, it could be a day that the punchier guys come to the fore. I'm not quite sure whether it's punchy enough to keep this from being a sprint. But it's certainly interesting enough that it's not an automatic sprint. What do you think?
I'm going to go with André Greipel again. I'm thinking sprint, but he's a guy who's done well at Flanders. There's some uphill cobbles there, in case you hadn't heard.
Yeah, I like Grapel as well. I think he has developed really well in his in the classics department the last couple of years, and this kind of looks like a day that that kind of rider could do well on. Stage six, there's a very, very long finishing climb, but it's a pretty low gradient, and I'm not really sure whether the GC guys are going to come out to play, whether it's going to be a breakaway. It's hard to say. For me, this looks like a day where the GC guys will probably have a little bit of differences between them, but they might let it go for a breakaway in terms of the stage win. That's my take on this stage. It is very up and down there at the end. It's going to be kind of hard to control.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sky's Ian Boswell. He had a big day at the Vuelta last year, kind of a longer finish climb. Also early in the race, you know, it's good to get a guy who's strong up the road on the first hill finish. Sky will hopefully be playing that. I don't know if they can do the whole grind everything down to Landa on a climb like this. It's my guy.
I'm going to go with Giovanni Visconti. He is a great breakaway type rider, tends to do well in these tough climbing stages. He's looked pretty strong the last couple of weeks, two-time Giro stage winner. And, to me, this looks like the kind of day that a rider like Visconti could maybe sneak away and take the win on. Stage seven, it's a mostly flat day. To me, it looks like a sprinter's day, and one that it comes after a long climb, before some more climbing. That could be kind of interesting. There is a Cat 4 kind of late in the day, crested about 40 kilometers from the finish. I'm going to go with Giacomo Nizzolo, who was second on a stage in Foligno, where this stage finishes, back in 2014. Behind Nasser Boulani, and to me this looks like a nice stage for him. It's a little bit longer than your average Grand Tour stage. It's got some climbs, could whittle the peloton down a little bit, and that could work in Nizzolo's favor.
I'm going to go with Andre Greipel again, because I'm really boring.
That's okay with me. Stage 8 has an interesting finish. It's a Category 2 climb that they're going to get over about 20 kilometers from the finish, and then the finish itself is a brief uphill. So this is definitely a day for somebody punchy. I'm not sure what level of climber is going to be there at the finish. To me, it looks like the kind of day, though, that Alejandro Valverde could do very well on. I think the peloton's going to be whittled down by that first Category 2 climb, and then that uphill finish just screams Valverde to me.
I'm going to go with Vincenzo Nibali here. We saw him steal an early hilly stage with a kind of disordered finish like this at the Tour. There's a long, long descent. There is a descent very close to the line, not a lot of flat regrouping space. I think he's going to push people, and he's going to get to a point where no one's going to beat him up that last climb, not even Valverde.
Stage 9 is the last day before the second rest day. It's a time trial. It's kind of lumpy. Not super lumpy, but there is a climb in there. They're going to be riding in Chianti, the wine region, so I think you can expect to see just one wine commercial after another, because that's kind of probably the reason that they're visiting this part of the country. This is a part of the country where towns change their name to whatever the name was in Chianti, just to remind people that they're in the wine-making region. For instance, this finish is in Greve in Chianti. Used to be Greve, now it's Greve in Chianti. Just so you know, we're in Chianti. We make wine like everybody else here. This is a 40-kilometer time trial, 40.5-kilometer time trial, and there is a climb in the last third or so of the day. It's around 5 kilometers long. It's like roughly 4% of a gradient. Nothing super challenging, but enough to make things kind of interesting. I like Tom Dumoulin here. I liked him with the first time trial. I liked him with the second time trial. He's a decent climber, so I don't think the climbs are going to cramp his style too much, and he's a great time trialist.
This is I've never seen a time trial like this. There's a lot of net elevation loss. Like they start at 500 meters and they finish at looks like about 2, which is not what you usually see in these races. I'm going to go with Rigoberto Urán. Just because this is, you know, a discipline he is pretty good at, and I get the vibe. I like the feel.
So that's the first 9 stages of the race. Then they'll have a rest day, and then we're going to record our next show. So until then, though, we have these 9 predictions to go through. Maybe when we come back, we'll have a revised prediction of the overall, but we are going to make an initial prediction as for the overall podium. I can go first here. I like Vincenzo Nibali to win the race. To me, he looks like the strong favorite, just given everything in his favor. We talked a fair bit about why he's a strong favorite earlier in the show. And yeah, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to beat Nibali on this course with his team, with his experience. It just seems to fit really well for Nibali this year. For second, I'm going to go with Mikel Landa. I don't think he can time trial well enough to beat Nibali, barring some kind of injury. But I do think he can climb better than pretty much everybody else here. And that should be enough to at least get him on the podium. And in third, I'll have Alejandro Valverde, who really has a knack for podiuming in Grand Tours, and who doesn't really seem to be that much slower than he used to be, despite his advancing age. And this is a big goal for him this year, doing well in a race that he's never actually raced before.
I definitely agree on Nibali. He's the Italian favorite in an Italian race, in a race that tends to try and favor Italians to an embarrassing degree. I don't know if I like Landa in second. I think I like Oran. He's been second a bunch of times, so I hate picking him. But, you know, he is good. He's strong. He's shown consistency. I don't know that we've really seen Landa kind of confirm that Giro finish last year. Third place, yeah, you're right. It is tough to pick against Valverde. I really want to have seen more from Rafael Majka.
So we will come back to that in a couple of days to see how we feel, whether we still feel the same way. If I know the recon, Rye, then our pick, Vincenzo Nibali, man, sorry, man. Hope you at least make it to the start. Maybe he'll make it to the first 9 days. I mean, that could be enough. We could at least survive that long.
I even picked him for a stage.
Yeah, oh, man. I'm sure I'll pick him for some stages in the second and third weeks. So I really do hope he can make it crash-free and illness-free all the way through the race. We'll find out. We'll be back for show 2 in a few days after the first 9 stages. Until the next show, however, this has been the Recon Ride Podcast. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And that's our show.